Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Judges 6, 17. I'm going to read from the NIV. You're welcome to read along with me. It says, Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Let's pray. Lord God, we ask you to speak to our hearts tonight in this moment. Lord God, pray that you would cause us to be good soil, good ground to receive the seed of your word. And Lord God, that it would produce a harvest in us, fruitfulness in us, change, transformation in us, Lord God, tonight. I ask you to help me share it, Lord God, with an anointing, Lord God. Come on, just begin to pray in the spirit if you have that freedom tonight. Lord God, we pray that you move. God, have your way. Speak to us. Say what you want to say. We give you the glory and the honor, the praise. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. You can be seated tonight. Anybody ready to get into the word tonight? Well, let's jump right into it. I'll give you sort of the background story, if you don't know it, up to where we read the scripture tonight. The Midianite army had been oppressing Israel for 7 years. And when I say oppressing, the Bible says that Israel was so oppressed, they were hiding in caves. They weren't really living in their homes, hiding in caves. Even holes in the ground is what some versions say. And the Midianites would come in every time there was a harvest, and they would steal the harvest. And they would steal the livestock as well of the people of Israel. So this is 7 years of a mess like this, an oppression like this. And this young man, Gideon, as many of you may know, was threshing wheat in a wine press. A wine press is not made for threshing wheat, but that's where he's at because he's hiding out and he's trying to just have enough grain and enough food to help with his family's food supply. Well, suddenly this angel is there with him. It's the angel of the Lord. And he tells Gideon, "Gideon, you're a mighty warrior." Now, this guy is not seeming like a mighty warrior. He's scared to death. He's hiding out. How many of you know the Lord sees things in us that we don't see? And God speaks over him, "You're a mighty warrior, and I want to use you," God's telling him, "to destroy the vast army of the Midianites." So Gideon talks back and forth with the angel, and at this point, it's obvious he doesn't really know it's an angel. It must have looked like a normal human. And the angel of the Lord tells him, "Listen, Gideon, I will be with you, and the enemy, Midian, and all those with them will be completely destroyed, and I will give you an Israel victory." How many of you know God's plan for you is victory? God's design for you is victory. Can I hear an amen? Well, that leads us up to the passage we read, because Gideon said, "I want a sign. Person talking to me, angel, whatever you are, I want a sign that this is really from God, that the enemy is really going to be destroyed, that I'm going to be used to defeat Midian, that this isn't just a dream. I'm not just imagining this." So we read he goes inside and he prepares a meal for the angel of the Lord, an offering, and he brought it to him. He wanted to feed him, and he made a young goat, killed and cooked a young goat, and bread without yeast, unleavened bread. But the angel of the Lord didn't want to eat it. He told him, "Lay it out there on a rock and pour the broth over it. What? That seems really weird. So he laid it on the rock, and that was sign number one. Because in that moment, the food, when Gideon did that, it went from being the offering of a meal to be eaten to a heightened sacrifice, a worship moment, not unlike the sacrifices in Moses' tent of meeting or later on in the temple. That which Gideon intended this angel to eat becomes something he is now laying before the Lord and pouring out before the Lord. It reminds me of the woman who came with the perfume, right? To Jesus. And what did she do? It's perfume worth a year's wages. What did she do? She poured it out before the Lord. And someone said, hey, I believe it was Judas, that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. He didn't care about the poor. He cared about the money. But he said, that could have been used for something better than that, right? But instead, it was poured out in worship to the Lord to honor him. And that's what's happening with Gideon. That meal that he prepared is now just being offered. It's just being laid before him. Sign number two. The angel of the Lord has a staff and he touches it. Fire flares up from the rock and burns that sacrifice. Why does the angel have a staff? A staff is commonly used by who? Anybody know? Shepherds. And this is the angel of the Lord. This is actually God himself. This is a theophany. This is God meeting right there with Gideon. And how many of you know the Bible tells us he's the good shepherd? Amen. So here's the good shepherd giving Gideon, this man who's been beat down, he's been fearful, and he's there ministering to his sheep, as you will, and giving him a new identity, giving him a new calling, giving him a new person, taking him from victim to victor, and he's confirming that call that he has placed on Gideon's life. He is being a shepherd to him. I'm going to lead you into victory. A shepherd would use that staff to fight off wolves or use that staff to protect his sheep. And that good shepherd is there to say, we're going to fight off Midian and I'm going to protect Israel. And so the good shepherd takes that staff. And what does he do? He touches the meat. He touches the bread. He touches the broth. He touches that sacrifice. And like I said, fire. Fire showing this was truly God himself, the all-consuming fire. Fire appearing, showing that he had found favor with Gideon. Gideon had found favor in the Lord's sight, that God approved of his sacrifice, kind of like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Anybody remember that? When fire fell from heaven and consumed his sacrifice. Or in the temple, at the dedication, when Solomon was sacrificing, and fire fell down from heaven, it was showing God's favor upon their sacrifice. And fire showing that that angel wasn't a man who needed meat nor a meal, but the God who was to be served and honored by sacrifice, and who in the fullness of time would actually himself become a sacrifice. Then the Lord disappears. That's a big sign. That's sign number three, all right? Gideon's sacrifice was touched by fire. And listen, it caused fire to rise up in Gideon. It caused faith to rise up in Gideon. It caused fervor to rise up in Gideon. It caused fight to rise up in Gideon and moved him forward into victory and great effectiveness for God. So tonight, for a few minutes, I want to talk about the fire of God touching our sacrifice, touching our lives. Who wants the fire of God to touch your life in a greater way? Who wants the favor of God on you in a greater way? Come on. Well, what do we do? Let's talk about what Gideon did tonight. You might want to take a few notes. One is this. Number one is this. He got in God's presence. That's one way that we see God's fire touch the sacrifice of our lives. We get in God's presence. We make God's presence priority. I think you guys probably do that. You're here on Sunday night. Amen? Come on, give yourselves a hand just for being here in the presence. Come on, it's all right. It's all right. That is sad. That is the saddest hand. Come on. Come alive in the name of Jesus. All right. Gideon was literally sitting there with God. You say, no fair. God just appeared to him. Right, but you know what? We don't need God to appear to us as an angel. We live in the era of the Holy Spirit outpouring. God lives inside of us. His Spirit dwells in us. The veil has been torn in the temple. Jesus made a way through his sacrifice on the cross. We don't have to go to a priest anymore. We don't have to have an angel appear. We can enter into the Holy of Holies ourselves, into the very presence of God. And we can commune with God daily. Amen? Like Gideon, we can just talk with God. Like have honest conversation with God, face to face. Gideon wasn't really pulling punches with this angel. He was like laying it out. He's like, well, if God's with us, why is all this stuff happening? Why has Midian been oppressing us for 7 years? I mean, he wasn't really like, you know, tiptoeing around God. And we want to be respectful of God, but I tell you what God wants more than anything. He wants your true heart. He wants your true self. He wants you to pour out who you really are, and he'll show up with who he really is. You talk with God and you listen to God. Spending time in God's presence requires just worshiping and listening sometimes. He'll speak to your inner man. Anybody ever had that happen? Right. Your spirit, your soul. He'll speak through your words. Sometimes you're just reading the word and it jumps out at you. It's a rhema word and you know God's saying that to you. Sometimes he'll even speak through a person. In fact, after God disappeared, he like spoke back to Gideon. Ba, ba, ba. You know, he's talking to him. Gideon was real with God, and God was real with Gideon and spoke to him. And be where the presence of God is. You know, that can be anywhere. Just taking time to praise God on your own, taking time to praise and worship. I remember years ago, it was about 1999, God began to lay on my heart. I was leading worship like Daniel, just except service after service after service. I was on two islands. I was at the cathedral. I was also, man, going to other locations leading worship. And I felt like God spoke to me to have a heightened time of worship. And early morning prayer to me was already way too early, all right? Like 5:30 was just, what? You know, and I was trying to drag myself there back in the day. And now I'm older. You just wake up, right, when you get older. So just happens. But back then, oh, what a struggle. And but the Lord began to speak to me, hey, you're the worship leader. You're not just the worship leader. You should be like the lead worshiper. So why don't you get up a little earlier and just take time to worship me before you even go there? I'm like, earlier? Did you say earlier? But really, the Lord was saying, before anybody else is up, while you can just have time with me, get up and just get in my presence in a greater way. That's all it takes, is you taking time to get with God. That might mean going for a drive. That might mean getting a coffee. God would love to have a coffee with you. He would love to hang out with you and just be with you and just enjoy his presence and you and him together. Get in his presence. Be in the house of God like you are tonight. Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Don't be some of those as some people do. Be the ones who are always in the house of God, making it priority, amen? Be in your life group, be in your teams and in your ministries. It's there that you get built up and encouraged. And sometimes people will say, well, I only need me and God. I only need me and the Holy Spirit. You do need those moments of you and God. If you don't have that, you're missing something in your life. You must have that one-on-one time like we're talking about. But that's a wrong mindset to have. Listen, you can't even baptize yourself. Did you know that? Jesus didn't baptize himself. He let John the Baptist baptize him. And John the Baptist said, I can't even untie your shoes. I'm not even worthy enough. And Jesus said, we need to do this for now. What was Jesus doing? He was being an example to us that we need one another, that the church is here to support and encourage and strengthen one another. It takes us together, and that's God's plan. So you be in the house of God. Be in God's presence. You know when you come here? Man, you come with an expectant heart. What's God going to do in my life today? God, I'm going to come worship you with everything I've got and draw into your presence. Are you still with me tonight? So we get in God's presence. Second is this, we offer a life of holiness. What did Gideon do? He sacrificed a goat, and then he had unleavened bread. In the Old Testament, a sacrifice of one male goat was generally for a sin offering, to atone for sin. Bread without yeast, unleavened bread, all through the word represents holiness because yeast represents sin. So just in that meal that he prepared for the angel, we see something. We see a picture of holiness. Besides that, a fire burned. What does fire do? It burns out the impurities. All of these things that was happening with Gideon, he was walking out, was a picture of holiness. Romans 12:1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Listen, thank God today we didn't all have to bring our animals to be killed. Amen. Anybody happy about that? I know I am. God didn't call us to be doing that anymore. Jesus took the final sacrifice, but we're to be a living sacrifice. Living, yet daily dying. To what? Our flesh. Dying to our sinful desires. Living, but dying to sexual sin, to lust, to lying, to rebellion, to disobedience, etc., etc., etc. Go read the Bible if you want a big, long list of those sins, all right? And that starts with getting right with God, repenting of our sin, his blood covering us, forgiven, wiped clean. But then we live out a holy life. By God's grace, a life of obedience to God as a sacrifice to him. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But if you blow it, you repent, amen, and you keep going forward and growing forward in what it means to live for God. Listen, if God is going to light the sacrifice of your life, you got to be that kind of living sacrifice. When you're walking through your day and there's something and God's like, Anybody ever had that happen in your heart? You're flipping through your phone, God's touching your heart. That's conviction of the Holy Spirit. Watch what you're saying right there. How many of you know we all have room to grow? And there are moments if we're open to the Lord that he says, you know what? You've done that for a while. I don't want you doing that anymore. I want to move you up to another level of living right in my sight. And if you do that, oh, but Pastor, it's hard. Oh, it hurts. Oh, Pastor, it's painful. Yeah, sometimes it is, but God's trying to knock the junk off your life so you can live free. And so his fire can touch you in a greater way. And so if we're smart, we respond, yes, Lord. You know, sometimes we struggle over stuff and struggle. I was thinking about this week. We struggle over stuff, struggle over stuff, struggle over stuff. You know why? Because we just don't want to give in. Oh, Lord, I'm having... You're telling your friend, man, I'm just having a struggle. You've been having that struggle for 5 years. You've been having that struggle for 3 years. If you'll just give it up, it won't really be a struggle anymore. Just submit to the Lord. And I'm not saying we don't have challenges. We do. We've all had challenges. But sometimes it's because we just don't want to give up the thing. We need to give it up to the Lord, quit struggling, and say, God, I'm going to obey you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And we give in our will to his will. We choose his way. Sometimes Christians say they live for God, yet they choose their own way over and over and over based on their fear, their emotion, their thoughts, their moods, their offenses. impulses, so-called rights. And I don't know how those believers think they're going to succeed or how God's blessing is going to be on them. We must, believers, submit to His will and His way. A few years ago, many years ago, I was dealing with something, and I felt like God showed me a plan. I want you to do it this way. I want you to handle it this certain way. And I saw this balance beam. Anybody know what that is? You know, gymnasts, they have those little things and they walk on them and do all kinds of tricks. I saw a really thin beam. And I might have shared this here before. I don't know. And I felt like God told me, I want you to walk a fine line with this thing. A narrow beam. And I was like, is this the Lord? This seems weird. And I was at early morning prayer at a conference at the cathedral in Maui. And one of the pastors came up to me and said, you know what? I have a word for you this morning. I don't know what this is, but I see this balance beam. I was like, okay, Jesus, I get it. And the Lord was telling me, I want you to handle this situation in a very restricted way. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. And I got to tell you what, it was stinking hard to do. Harder than hard. It was painful to walk through this situation in this way, but I tell you what, I stuck to it by the grace of Almighty God, and I came out on the other side miraculously because of God's mercy and grace with victory. And we have to be willing to walk the way God wants us to. Matthew 7 says, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. There's only one gate to eternal life. It's Jesus. Can I hear an amen? But the road we have to walk after we go through that gate is narrow. And it can be like a balance beam. It's a road of holiness and obedience and submitting our bodies, our wills, our minds to Him. But when we do that and we live like that, we are setting ourselves up for the fire of God to touch our lives. You guys still with me tonight? Number three, we offer the sacrifice of that which is valuable. Gideon killed that goat. Listen, livestock was at a premium. The enemy's been stealing all their livestock to then take a goat that's supposed to feed your family and kill it to serve to this angel who then says, lay it on the rock. What, you mean the thing I just sacrificed for you? You're not going to eat it? The thing, I could have fed my family with this. You know, we don't have a lot of goats right now. And you want me to do what? Lay it on that rock and just pour it out? I mean, God didn't even eat it. And listen, it's a picture for us that God wants to take what's valuable in our lives, our treasure, our time, our talent, and He wants us to lay it before Him as an offering, as a sacrifice, and even pour it out. Hebrews 13 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually, everybody say what? Continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We see three things that we're told to pour out in sacrifice. One is praise. Everybody say, what is it? Praise, the confession of His name. The second is doing good, serving. All those people who lined up here, who have given their time to do the glow show, they're pouring out by serving. Amen? And He says, sharing, giving. He's equating all these things. Worship isn't just singing and shouting. Worship are the people that are in the nursery serving for the glory of the Lord. People are worshiping when they're right back there at that tech booth, making sure we can hear, we can see, and all of those sort of, that's worship to the Lord. Serving, giving. Our giving and an offering, as Minister Hank shared, is worship to the Lord. So God's pleased when we speak praise. He's pleased when we serve. He's pleased when we share with others. There's sacrifices that he likes. And listen, we got a lot going on. I know you do because this is a King's church. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? This is the Sunday night crowd, right? Some of you were like, birthday of a king practice all day, glow show, church, you were here early for service. I mean, we do a lot of stuff, amen? Good stuff. And listen, I know I've been a part of this church for a long time, 35-ish years. And sometimes that can be challenging, and we all have to balance it with family and marriage and all of those things. But you know, I've heard people say, I can't serve, Pastor, because I want to do is focus on my family. And we should focus on our family. But you know, I've seen people who tell me that, and I'm talking over years of ministry, and they have that mindset, and their kids don't serve God anyways. Ouch. You know why? Because they're not living it out as an example, and they're not involving their children in what they're doing. I mean, for years we did productions. Productions are a lot of work. And my kids, you know, I'm like, guys, we're doing this together. OnePlus is back in those days, we didn't have too much money and we had one car. So wherever we went, we were going. And we were always together. It actually worked out. And I'm like, kids, we're doing this. Well, my oldest son, Austin, at that time, you know, he got to be 13. And I may have shared this before here, but he's like, Dad, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be on the stage. I don't want to do that anymore. And I said, okay, you don't have to do that. I said, there's a spotlight you can run. There's something else you can do. There's a smoke machine you can push at the right time. But I said, we're doing this together because it's something that we do as a family. And so for like 3 years, he's like, I'll be your spotlight guy. You know, move the spotlight at age 13, 14, 15. And then about age 16 comes up to me, Dad, can I audition for the show? Yeah, he came back around. You make things work. Amen. You try to be wise. You don't want to browbeat your children. No, you're going to do it. No, not like that. Say, here's what we're going to do. That's how you do it. You serve at the right level that works at your level of faith, and you involve your family in it. When we say there's a ministry going on or this event, listen, folks, it's merely an opportunity for all of us to pour out to the Lord. And if you pour out, God will pour in. That woman with the expensive perfume, Judas said, what a waste. And somebody might say that about you. What a waste that you give so much. What a waste that you give so much in the offering. What a waste that you spend so much time serving at the church. But what did Jesus say about that woman? He said, what worship. And that's how the Lord looks at us when our heart is right. A complete different point of view. Whose view do you want, Judas or Jesus? I vote Jesus. You want God's fire? You want to be touched by his fire? Pour out. Are you guys still with me tonight? I can't help but wonder, could it be in this moment with the angel of the Lord that Gideon was remembering back for a minute to his forefather, Abraham? Because in Genesis 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham too. Three visitors came to his tent, and he went out and prepared a meal for them. Except it was a calf and some bread. And perhaps Gideon was remembered through oral sharing of what happened in that day, Genesis 15, that God had promised Abraham that he would have descendants as many as the stars in the sky. But Abraham said in Genesis 15, 8, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? In other words, just like Gideon asked, what's the sign? Abraham asked the same thing. And it's very interesting. God told Abraham to lay out a sacrifice of meat. And he did it. And Genesis 15:12 says, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And Genesis 15:17-18 says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. You say, what is this about? I mean, I've read that before. What on earth? What is the smoking fire pot? What is this torch? Listen, that smoking fire pot was the Spirit of God represented by the smoke. That smoke on Mount Sinai, that pillar of cloud that led Moses, the Shekinah glory in Solomon's temple. That torch represented, like Moses, pillar of fire that led Israel, the burning bush, the fire falling on the sacrifices of Solomon and Elijah, as I mentioned it. And that smoking fire pot and that blazing torch passing between Abraham's sacrifice was God himself walking through the middle of Abraham's sacrifice. And God was sealing the deal. He was signing the contract with Abraham. He was confirming his covenant, saying, Abram, I am going to fulfill my promise. I am going to do what I promised you. You will have descendants as many as the sand on the seashore. You will have descendants as many as the stars in the sky. And my fire and the smoke of my presence is sealing that deal. God was showing his visible favor by igniting that sacrifice with his fire and his cloud. And perhaps that was the kind of sign Gideon was looking for. He would know if it was God, if that angel of the Lord did that for him as he had done for Abraham. He wanted God to touch his sacrifice with fire. And God did it. It was God's favor being displayed. God confirming his presence, his promise. I'm with you, Gideon. I'm going to do what I promised you. And I'm going to bring victory. Yes, Gideon, it's me. I'm here. I'm with you. Just like I was with Abraham.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.